The reading is taken from Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 to 18, and then from 22 to 25. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. But the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passion and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying of each other. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. My name is John, and it's my privilege to speak today on joy. I've been a member of the church here for about 6 years, and I'd like to carry on some of the theme of some of the fantastic celebration we've already had today of joy. The main message I want to deliver today really is that joy comes from the Holy Spirit. True joy comes from the Holy Spirit, and it's for sharing. Other brands do exist.
Joy.
So there we go. Now, there's a battle there, isn't there? So we've got a big McDonald's dominant. Many people, perhaps of my age, grew up with McDonald's dominating the high street of junk food, alongside other brands which do exist. But there's this small startup thing called Greggs that was from some remote part of the northeast of England, as it's suddenly now dominating as well. And there's this battle going on between these two things. That's what the Bible reading we just heard was about as well, where what that reading is about is a battle that exists. There's battles throughout the Bible. I love the story of David and Goliath. It's probably my favorite battle story. But this one is about the battle full of our sinful nature inside us, where we all have sin. But actually, that's battling against God's Spirit. And you have a choice. But if you can win that battle through Jesus, then actually the Spirit will come with you, and you will then bear fruit. And that's what I want to talk about today. So I'd like to ask for a couple of volunteers. Could we go back to the slide? Yeah, that's great. So that's what the first thing was about. So I'm going to talk a bit about joy, but I'd like two volunteers, please. And it needs to be somebody who doesn't mind eating something. It is non-alcoholic, but it does have gluten, it does have meat. And so I need two volunteers. So, right, I think there's two young ladies at the back. So the lady in the denim jacket, what's your name, sorry? Come forward, please. And there was another person down here as well. Was that young Jake? Looks like you're looking very enthusiastic. What I'd like to do is find out a bit about what you think about joy, and we're going to give you an experience. Now, have we rehearsed this? Have we rehearsed this?
No.
Correct answer. Do I therefore know what the experiment, live experiment, is going to lead to? We shall see. Would you like to say your name?
Florence.
Thank you, Florence. Now, you'll get the choice. Do you prefer McDonald's or Greg's?
McDonald's.
Okay. Look what's coming here. Oh. Yes, for Florence. And Jake, I hope you like Greg's. For what the Lord gives us, we give thanks. Amen. You can start. Please, start eating. So, let's just watch and observe this experience of joy. What do you have there? What does that look like?
A sausage baguette sort of thing.
Nice, sausage baguette. Carry on. Let's see the joy. What have you got?
Egg, bacon, and cheese.
Mmm, looks good. Carry on, Florence. There is ketchup there, yes. So I've got a few questions I'd like to perhaps ask in a moment of this live experiment. As I say, it's not rehearsed. How are you feeling? Don't talk with your mouth full.
Happy.
Feeling happy. How are you feeling, Florence?
Yummy.
Yeah, feeling yummy, great. How do you think you're going to feel in about 2 hours from now? Do you think you'll feel the same?
I don't know.
What about you, Florence? Do you think you'll feel the same sense of yummy in 2 hours?
No.
That's interesting, yep. That was the answer I was hoping for, by the way. How does it feel kind of just eating it here, compared to perhaps if you were sitting in a group with your friends? Perhaps if you imagine there were more of you, maybe five or six of you, without all of these weird people staring at you, would that be different if you were sharing it and everybody else had some? I can see people there dribbling, hungry. So would it be nicer to have been able to share it with people, do you think?
Yep,
okay. Jake, very good at not eating, not talking with your mouth full. It's probably because you're eating very fast, which is good to see, not getting fed at home enough. Okay, a couple of questions then. These are slightly more difficult questions. Firstly, how do you think Jackie would have felt if you'd actually said thank you to her?
Happy. I mean, she would feel happy.
Yeah, she'd have felt quite happy as well, wouldn't she? What do you think?
Upset?
I think she'd have felt happy, but she might have felt upset. But Jackie was very happy to give it to you, so don't worry. It doesn't matter. I'm really not trying to make you feel guilty. But it was freely given to you, but saying thanks, giving thanks, gives joy. Receiving thanks gives joy as well. And this is my last question, really, before I let you go back to your seats and carry on eating it and potentially sharing it with anybody who might not mind sharing with you. What happens if something tough happens? What happens, you know, perhaps you finish church and you go back and you fall off your bike and cut your arm? Or what happens if you suddenly get home and get reminded that you haven't done any homework for the 2 weeks of Easter that has to be in tomorrow? Or what about you get told off for squabbling with one of your wonderful siblings? Do you think you'll feel the same as you feel now?
No. No.
Okay, thank you. My live experiment is complete. You may go back to your places with your food and listen to me talking. Well done, thank you. Just I'll take the plate. Well done, Jackie. So what would I like to draw as my observations from that live experiment? I think, you know, there is something, could I have the slides back as well, please, thanks, yeah. So I think there is something about earthly joy, which is good. And, I mean, barring indulging in sinful pleasures, there are plenty of earthly pleasures to be enjoyed on the face of what they are. Something tastes good, food tastes good, enjoy it. It can give you a good feeling. You get this temporary sensation of feel-good factor. And it's good to be thankful for those things. I had great joy yesterday morning. I woke up early and I sat on my kitchen step with a mug of tea and I looked at the flowers coming out in our garden. I could hear the birds singing and the light coming, and I took great joy and just sat there and was just thankful. There are so many wonderful things to be thankful for in our world, which includes food. So I think that temporary sensation of emotional well-being is a good thing. But what happens in the longer term? Because it tends to be often quite temporary, doesn't it? And what happens if something tough happens? You know, things do go wrong, things can go bad, and we all live in a world that is broken, and there are world affairs around us that are heartbreaking. We live in families where things can go wrong, and people can pass away, and people can get injuries and sicknesses, and, you know, those things can happen, and those things can sometimes get in the way of feeling joy, can they not? They'll certainly take away some of that temporary sensation that you might have had. Yet we're told, you know, in Hebrews that Jesus endured the cross with joy. We're told in Acts that Peter and John had joy despite all their suffering because they were suffering in Jesus' name. So I think there is something else about joy, and there's another type of joy, and I think they're interrelated. And this is joy from the Holy Spirit. I don't think joy is the same as temporary gratification or happiness. I think there is a joy that can endure through affliction. I don't know if you can see the picture. What do you think that picture is of up there? I don't know if you can see, there's somebody in chains in a prison. It's Paul, I think. In 2 Corinthians and throughout Philippians, we hear from Paul who writes that he has joy in the midst of affliction. And this joy, it's like an overflow. If you put the plug in your bath and you run the taps and you walk out the bathroom and forget about it, then if your overflow plug isn't working well, the water's going to keep coming up and it's going to flow over the top. And Paul talks about this sense of joy overflowing from him. It overflows that he shares the gospel with his imprisoners. It overflows. And he has love for others, and he writes to the church, and he encourages them, and he challenges them, and he teaches them. But this is not easy, and I wouldn't want to pretend it's easy, that you could always feel this kind of earthly sensation of joy and satisfaction because of these difficult things we have in life. I think sometimes it can be very hard to feel joy, but I don't think it is just a feeling. I think it springs up, it overflows from us, from the Holy Spirit. So I think, to me, joy is about a condition as much as a feeling. Sometimes happiness can be described because of a circumstance, but I think true joy can also, in addition to that, be despite of certain things. Paul also says to be joyful always. Wow, how can that be? How can we really be joyful always, when sometimes life can seem so tough? So I think, to me, you start with love. Commentators have different views, but I've wondered, and I've read different things of this, so you make up your own mind, but I'll share with you what I think. But I think you start with choosing love, rather than necessarily saying choosing to be joyful. Have you ever been sad, or have ever been angry, and someone's come up to you and said, come on, cheer up? Does it help? I think often not. I think sometimes it'd be quite difficult if that's the case. So my view is you kind of start with love. And last week's sermon, Mary talked about this, didn't she? She talked about accepting God's love. And if you accept God's love, you're then able to share it. It can be shared out, have accepted it. It links to what was in that reading, really. There's different commandments to us from Jesus, but he says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. But he also says to love your neighbor as yourself. And those things pretty much summarize what love is about. So if you can choose love, then that's the start point. Now I'm going to demonstrate some joy here. And could my able assistant also bring me my next prop? Now, I don't know if anybody here recognizes this bag, but I would like the owner of this bag to come and collect her bag, please. Looking very nervous now, aren't you, Jane? Jane is our life group co-leader, and she gave us a bag. I can't remember what it was for. We were taking something back at midweek, and I want to share with you. This is alcoholic, and it's got cheese and wine, so there is some kind of... I can try and draw some communion sort of parallel to this, but I won't try to do so. But I want to honour you for being our co-leader. I want to honour you for all that you do for this church. Every day you're supporting us and driving our church. So here's an expression of love to you. And I feel so joyful in sharing and giving that, because I love Jane, and I hope all love Jane. And if you love someone, then you get this overflowing sensation of wanting to share things with people. So I think you start with love. And if you know God's presence, if you meditate on his word, then Jesus comes to you, and that battle between your sin and the Spirit can be won, because Jesus helps you. Jesus gives you that victory. And then from that, you can invite the Holy Spirit into your life. And I think for some people here, you've been inviting the Holy Spirit into your life for years and years. You can keep doing that. There's no limit. There's not a ration. It's not like you can only eat a certain amount of burgers in a day. You can fill yourself up with the Holy Spirit. This is open for all to keep accessing and asking for God's Spirit to be with you. If you've never ask for the Holy Spirit to be with you, you can do that. If you're finding it really hard to ask for the Holy Spirit to be with you, then pray with somebody. There's prayer ministry at this church. You know, there's probably prayer ministry after this service, or part of this service. It can sometimes be hard, and I don't want to make it seem that it is. So if you feel that you've lost your joy, or if you're feeling that there's so much darkness that is really preventing you from having joy, then maybe just consider, you know, why is that? Because if you can accept God's love, allow that love to be shared, you can invite the Holy Spirit into your life, whether it's for the first time or for the 1,000th time. And from that, you get those fruits. And a healthy tree bears lots of fruits. We were with friends yesterday, and someone's planting a tree in an orchard as part of a local community project. And I could just visualize a healthy tree will bear lots of healthy fruit. So let's be healthy. And the way we're healthy is by choosing love and inviting the Spirit into our lives. And then the fruits come off our branches, and joy is one of those fruits. And if you have so much of that fruit, it will start overflowing, and you'll share it. It's very attractive, isn't it? You can share it with others. It's a way to let them know what Jesus has done for you, and how better to fulfill the Great Commission to evangelize and tell others of Jesus than for people to witness joy in your life as the fruit. So I'd like to close by us all praying for each other. So if we can all just pray together this blessing on each other. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.